Apostle Aramel's heart.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We ask that you help us as we make progress to seek to take a hold of your present revelation position in the Spirit. Let your name be glorified these 2 days in Jesus' name. You may be seated. The initiative budding that came upon my heart many years ago, and that budding was as a result of Luke chapter 3. I want to justify the budding before we begin to make progress. Pastor Victor, we will need to. This sound is not good. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll be able to work on it, and we'll do that deliberately. I hope you can hear me from the back. All right, so that's what I'm saying. We don't have sound in this hall. I'll try to raise my voice, even though it's unnatural for me to begin shouting initially, but I will end up shouting at the end of the day. And I notice people just laugh now. It means you are hearing what I'm saying. Now let's try. I want to justify the kind of conference that we are holding here. What is it about? I said it's drawn from a burden which resulted many years ago upon studying Luke chapter 3. So I want to invite us to turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 3. We will do our best tomorrow to ensure that anything it takes for us to have sound, because there's no sound today. Now, in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip the tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachonitis and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." If you pay attention to the scripture that we just read, you will find that an entire governmental edifice was bypassed. The first three names that you are going to see on that list is the three most significant political leaders in that time. The subsequent two names that you will see are the two most significant religious leaders as at that time. So it's an edifice of platforms. And the Bible reveals that God bypassed all those platforms and he went to the wilderness community. Hallelujah. I've been preaching for many days, so I can't shout. Let me try again. If it doesn't work, I'll keep the mic and I'll use my normal voice. God bypassed governments, he bypassed religious systems, he bypassed religious structures, and he went to John in the wilderness. John had no structure around his ministry, but the encounter that God gave John the Baptist resulted in the fact that he became the fulfillment of what Isaiah said, that the voice of one will be found crying in the wilderness. That's a very demeaning place for the counsel of God to be found. But because of the nature of the season and how that the systems of the day never understood that God has occasioned a shift in the spirit. The systems of the day were not sensitive to the fact that God had moved. The systems of the day did not know that the emphasis of God had shifted. And so God had to set up a different platform that would proclaim his present revelation position. And he went as far as the wilderness to find John the Baptist. John the Baptist came the mouthpiece of the move of God at that time. Number one. Number two. The Lord will help us. Just don't be distracted about this. Just stay with me. If you can hear what I'm saying, that's good enough. And for your information, this whole faulty system will not affect the move of God that is designed and destined for this night. We'll make all effort tomorrow morning, even if it means to change everything and get sound system tomorrow. We'll do that. Listen. Our God is someone that we need to follow meticulously. When God gave a prescription of the fact that he wanted an ark. Amen. When God gave a prescription of the fact that he wanted an ark, what he did was that he gave Noah the dimensions of the ark. God happens to know what he wants. If you stay with him long enough, he will tell you the dimension of the things that he intends to implement. Meanwhile, it's possible for you to be smart and you believe God is not wise enough. And because you think God is not wise enough, you can decide to adjust the specifications that God has made available. What he will do is that he will leave you. It doesn't matter how long you have labored and what you think you have done and the investment that you have put on ground. He will leave that entire structure that lacks the capacity to represent his perspective. And he can move to the wilderness and isolate a system that doesn't have the capacity at all in terms of platform, in terms of coverage, in terms of reach, in terms of capacity. He can isolate a platform that is consistent with what he wants to pioneer and then unleash his involvement on that platform. God's hand is on the ministry of John the Baptist, for instance. And anyone in that generation, for instance, wants to know the mind of God, you will need to go to John the Baptist. That's how God operates. And if for any reason you are not aligned with what he is pioneering with John the Baptist, you are going to suffer the fate of becoming a victim of a shift. For many of us, we would have wanted God to be in a textbook where we can go seek him out like a mathematical formula. Or he is in a key, and then we give him out as keys. Key number one, key number two. And if you use these keys, the doors are going to open. That's how we would have loved God to be. But when Jesus taught, and Jesus happens to be the best Bible teacher, he never gave any key at all. Never. Jesus' pattern of teaching was not cerebral. In fact, the things of God will always be sought out. It is not in the commonplace. It will be sought out every time. If you want to know the mind of God for today, you will seek him out today. I started praying to know the mind of God for this conference from yesterday night, midnight. Haven't preached somewhere. I was tired. But I know that if it's the mind of God that I seek, I will need to do the old practice of seeking it out. It is when you begin to seek God that you know you are not that strong. You are not that relevant. When you begin to seek God, God can keep you aside for 2 years. And then he will raise the issue of how you slapped your wife. And according to him, that's what he wants to discuss. Meanwhile, you came there in search of something. You came for something, and he will hardly talk about the thing that you came for. What you may not know, but he's teaching you something about himself, that he, an Ezemo, can send a spirit on errand to do damage to a family, to do damage to a community. It is possible to send those spirits, because in their natural wiring, when they were created, they were entities of service. So even though they have fallen, they still maintain that service nature. So you can send them. But you see, God is a king spirit. You can't send him. You can't come and cry, and then because you are weeping, you now get him to begin to react emotionally. Serving a spirit that is a king requires diligence to know that if he moves, it's because he wants to do so. Meanwhile, the structure of the fallen man doesn't understand a system that cannot be manipulated. All of these things you will learn in the place of prayer. If by any means you ever have any need to seek out the mind of God, you may not need to seek his mind. Maybe you are comfortable the way you are, and you want to continue the way you are operating. But if by any means you have need to seek out the mind of God, you will begin to find out the texture of the kind of personality that God is. Just coming before him and seeking to know his will, you will discover that the first thing that God will unveil is not what you came to seek. God will co-opt you into his own agenda and begin to bring his own preferences. He might not even raise the issue that you came with in another 1 year. That kind of king is very frustrating to follow if you don't understand what it means to wait upon the Lord. If you do not know your status as a servant that has no influence whatsoever within the estate of the kingdom into which you have been drafted, and that your usefulness will evolve out of your capacity to wait until he decides to send you on an errand. If you take off like a tornado because you went for 16 months Bible college. You have gotten some scripture. And you went for leadership training in Lagos. These are the types of leaderships that we have. And in Nigeria, if we profile our presidents for the past 12 years, this is the pattern. You are wasting your time. That training you are receiving is good training for human beings. But if you want to work with a spirit, the training that is required for you to engage a spirit is altogether very different. And may it never be your portion that you started out claiming to represent that spirit and you never understood the will of that spirit enough for you to know the dimensions of what he is erecting. What he will do is that he will still be active, but he will bypass you, and then he will look for people that were diligent to present the specifications of his emphasis. You see, we became so active in the body of Christ in Nigeria that we think that you can do something and then force God to accept it. We are quite an intimidating folk. All of those things don't pass with a king spirit. They can pass with men, they can pass in the office, you can intimidate somebody and you can get the person to be doing your bidding. But if you are before a spirit that is king, the protocol is different. So what we have in the book of Luke chapter 3 is that God decided to bypass a structure. And many of us may not be aware, maybe it will become more glaring in the next 5 years, that there are many structures that are standing in the name of God in Nigeria that God has bypassed. And not necessarily because of the obvious, which we call things like sin, but because the system no longer represents what God is building. So he moves away and seeks a platform that is malleable in his hands, that he can manipulate. Such platform is going to hold the authority to unveil what is on the mind of God. And so John said that my identity, when he was asked who he was within the scheme of prophecy, because the Israelites are not novices, they are sons of the prophets, they are not without understanding, they have the utterances and the writings of the prophets as their guide. And if you have stayed in a synagogue for 1 year and you receive the teachings and the educations that come in the synagogue, you will understand the signs, how to read the signs of the times. So the scholars and the custodians of revelatory powers in those days went to John the Baptist confused about what he represented in the scheme of things that was already laid out by prophetic personalities, and they wanted John to reveal his identity within the scope of that framework, because God would not abandon the laid out prophetic framework to do something apart from it. Everything must be within the scope of the architecture of the prophetic framework that has been laid down. So they wanted John to identify himself within the scope of the scheme of things as entrenched by previous prophetic ministry. Just like I say to ministers, anytime I have the opportunity to minister to ministers, I said, if you have not found a scripture or a group of scriptures in the Bible that you are a persona that unveils, that fulfills, you are not existing. Because your scope of existence is consistent with a prophetic framework. When Jesus came to unveil his identity, the Bible says he took of the prophet Isaiah and he read, he looked for where it was written. He didn't just begin to read at random. He looked for where it was written that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. Those scriptures that he read that day, after reading the scriptures, he said, these scriptures are fulfilled because I'm here. So Jesus was able to identify himself through the same procedure of the prophetic voices in the Bible. So if you cannot identify yourself in the maze of the prophetic graphs that are in scripture, you don't exist. You are like Batman, like a cartoon, you know? You are like a cartoon figure trying to be active. Meanwhile, where it really matters, you don't appear. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Now, my intention is not to break your heart. But the time has come in the church in Nigeria where we need to discuss meat issues and kingdom issues. The reason why you are born again is so that you can participate in the kingdom. That is what God designed Adam to function in. Not church, kingdom. Not to sit down and then we play and you go out. You will not fulfill the purpose for which you were given the privilege of the pilgrimage of time. Time is like an investment banking system. The real realm is called eternity. This realm is false. This realm has no authority. This realm, don't build anything in it. It is just an investment passage. God gave us this investment passage so that we can invest in the real realm. Just like Bitcoin is not money, it is currency. Okay, let me not go there. Some of you will not understand how it applies. It's not, that's not money. It's currency. It's different from money. You can use it to get money, but it is currency. Okay, let me. It's now becoming complex. I'm not trying to make anything complex. I'm saying that if in God's framework of prophetic realities you do not appear there, you don't have an identity within the scheme of things consistent with that prophetic framework, you are not existing. You are only existing in time. It is when we enter into the real realm you will discover. I'm a scientist. I have calculations I can do here. Calculations that I can do here. Atomic calculations, and I can prove that this thing does not exist. That what we are, what is obtainable in time is like a video game that two realms are trying to manipulate. And you become like the realm that is manipulating you. It's a passage for us to invest in the real realm. And if you don't know the will of God for your life, today later, you are like Batman. The ministry of John was supposed to bring a certain kind of renovation. The renovation that I speak of is in verse 5 and verse 6, and then I'll stop there and go to the budding of the night. I'm just trying to tell us what the Voice of One conference is about. It's a means by which God gives vocality to his present revelation position, the emphasis that he has for his body within territories. Because there is only one theological basis by which the church can be considered divided. And the only theological basis is territory. And that's why we have the church in Smyrna. The voice of the Lord for the church in Smyrna is different. The emphasis is different from the church in Pergamos. If by any means, maybe you become general overseer tomorrow, and you have a booklet that they teach in every branch, you are false, because the church has different expressions territorially. Most of what we are doing is Batman. You know, It's only valuable in time. It is not investing into the real framework of things. And I pray that your life will be existent in the context of reality, in the name of Jesus. The ministry of John the Baptist was supposed to occasion a renovation. It says, every valley shall be filled. This is why the correction will have to find expression. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. His ministry, when he begins to pioneer those fresh things that God was saying, it is going to conflict with valleys. It's going to conflict with mountains. It's going to conflict with things that are crooked. It will reveal that some things are crooked. It means things that are in place that were bypassed to elevate this voice will fight this voice, because this is a renovating voice. Number two, this voice is not bought. You see, if it were in Nigeria, people would take Ghana, must go to John the Baptist and maybe advise him to stop talking about this and that, and he will receive support in his ministry. This voice is not bought. Even though it may be that in Nigeria everything is bought, but this voice is not. And is the instrument through which God can unveil to a seeking heart that that person is in departure. Because if darkness comes, what it does is that it seizes the conduit of verity and truth. And that's why Jesus many times will have to say, verily, verily. Because that is the witness of the spirit of truth. When darkness comes, there is no verity anymore. The lines are cancelled out. It becomes indefinite. You don't know the boundaries. You don't know how far. You don't know the specifications. That's what darkness does. Our God operates with specifications. He operates with accuracy. He operates with precision. But when darkness comes, anything goes. That's the kind of thing that happens. And so if God is occasioning a restoration, what he does is somewhat like a renovation. The valleys will have to be filled. There are omissions that were deliberately built into place that Satan will exploit in the day of battle. One of such omissions that has traveled with us for so long is the emphasis. Is a time came when it was no longer in the spirit of the New Testament for someone to be a practitioner of prayer. A day came in the body of Christ, was about buttons and keys, not about seeking the face of God and seeking alignment with his spirit. And a lot of doctrine was built on that valley. A lot of structure was built on the valley of it is not about prayer. Meanwhile, there were only four basic agendas in the early apostolic community that was the foundation of their culture. And prayer was a major agenda in the four-point agenda of the apostolic community. It means that if you came into that community and you don't like prayer, you have to go, because that's the culture. Do you understand? If you come to Benue State, what we have yam there. If you don't eat starch, we don't understand that. That the culture requires that you will be given pounded yam. If you need to come with insulin so that as you are taking the pounded yam, you'll be injecting yourself. That's your own business. But the height of hospitality in the culture is that you will stumble on pounded yam. So in the apostolic community, part of the culture was prayer. In fact, Jesus was the one that said his house should be known among the nations as a house. This
This knowledge Jesus is talking about is from unbelievers. When unbelievers see us, Jesus' house, if they see us, their conclusion should be, these ones are people of prayer. And then a generation came where we now went to attend school in Netherlands and in London Business School, and came back and felt that prayer was not so important. And then we built an edifice on the error. When John the Baptist comes, what he will do is that the valleys will be elevated. So, people that have ears have already heard me. So, let me stop there. This is an attempt to bring perspective to the reason why it is called the Voice of One Conference. It's the spirit of Elijah that is at work, and that spirit prepares the way before the Lord. Let me stop it there. All right, come with me quickly. Let's go into the building for the night. The Lord will help us in Jesus' mighty name. The sound has improved. It's 30%. It's on 30% now. And those days, I think E was 40. So we'll look into it and find out what has made it bankrupt. God bless you in the name of Jesus. All right, let us begin. This is what the Lord is saying. What I want to teach is what the Lord is saying. Okay, let me leave you. Let's start from Exodus chapter 33 quickly. Valleys must be elevated. And then there are mountains. Those ones are additions. Human tradition. Many human beings came and said, this is how God, this is God. If it's not like this, God is not in it. And then a lot of people built like that over the years. For 35 years. For instance, in the church in Nigeria, our God is breakthrough. So, listen to me. Listen carefully. We are not playing here. So, listen. Once upon a time, you spoke about cable. I went on cable. I put some of our stuff on cable. And I had invitation to 17 countries. So, I was so excited. I went to God in my excitement to ask if he was responsible for the doors that opened. And he told me he's not aware of doors. Now, the point is this. If your God is breakthrough, you will never make it. You will serve an idol before your days are over. The Lord said he didn't open any door. Thank God I asked him. I was already oiling my so many of us have built around breakthrough, and then your vista, the way you know that God is somewhere, is when you see your own definition of breakthrough. That's what we have built. But when John the Baptist comes, every mountain, that means additions that obscures the mind of God, those mountains will have to be made low. That's the difficult aspect. Valleys being elevated are simpler than mountains being humbled. This renovation is going to take place by a platform that God has found that is consistent with his up-to-date rating. That's where his voice will be coming from. And that voice is not going to be friendly. It is going to be a voice that holds the perspective of God. And it is going to be offensive to valleys. It will be a torment to mountains. And you need to be called to do that kind of ministry. Because your lifespan is not in your hand. Your lifespan is not in your hand. He said, even crooked paths, suddenly the plumb line will be drawn, and then you will know, you will see that some roads are like this. It started out well, but it weaved into mammon, and then there's a part of it that has affinity with immorality, then another part with negotiations in darkness. And people won't know, because we'll be saying amen, hallelujah, Jesus Christ, until that spirit of John the Baptist begins to witness. It becomes a plumb line, and then you begin to see that, hey, so this part is crooked. You will not know until a ruler is brought. And what I found is that the average believer doesn't stay long with God. He's a master of methods, a master of strategies. People go to hunt and to shop for how it is working here. What is making it work there? You know, that era of hunting and shopping for breakthrough strategic formulas is as a result of a mountain. And any time the perspective of God is not accurately seen, men will begin to build the Tower of Babel one more time. Even though God was not in the Tower of Babel, he made a remark that it was possible. What the guys were doing was a great possibility. So if you go to China, you see the development there, it was not by God. Because the Adamic mandate. Are you with me? Incorporated in the Adamic mandate was the dominion mandate. The dominion mandate is Adamic. That means fallen men can still dominate in the spheres of the natural. All the prosperity we taught for how many years, it didn't produce the richest man in Africa. Someone running on the scale of the Adamic mandate is still holding that flag till now. Well, okay, let me. I'm in the wrong place. Don't worry. Let me. Let's go to the Exodus. And let me leave. Because the lamentation is growing. If we focus on it, the thing talking is not this man. The thing talking is something. It's inside. If we keep going, the lamentation will begin to. So today, when someone gives his life to Christ and he comes to church, what is he coming to? There were people that came for altar call one day, and I called one to ask him, what did you come for? Because the message was about driving a car by faith. That was the message. So, and then we were asked to use the steering. And then at some point, they said we should step on the brakes. So we were doing like this. After that, an altar call was given, and people came out. So I called one of them. I said, "Oga, what? Why did you come here? What did you come here for?" He himself didn't know why. So I came to tell you, as someone that has been on the field for long preaching, that there were men. It's not everybody that comes to our altars that gave his life to Christ. If you are still with me, say amen. At any point in time where you are offended, the doors, that's why the ushers have done a great job, the doors are open. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Exodus. A shift, what you call coronavirus, was a marker. Coronavirus was a marker of the end of a cycle and the beginning of another. So that no one will claim that they don't know. I will stop that parable. I will stop it there. Exodus chapter
33. We'll begin our reading from verse 7 if you are in the congregation. Exodus chapter 33 from verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. So we are trying to investigate the tabernacle of Moses. It is a metaphor that is pointing to a very intricate factor in Christ Jesus. So we are trying to speak with metaphors. It's a parable. Hallelujah. So Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar from the camp, and he called it the tabernacle of congregation. And it came to pass that when everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. The tabernacle. Today we'll look at the tabernacle of Moses. Tomorrow we'll look at the tabernacle of David. However, tomorrow evening when I finish teaching, I'll pray for the sick. So if you have sick people in Abuja, afflicted people, you can bring them tomorrow for healing. And if the person that is sick, maybe your friend, your relative, is not within the vicinity, what you do is just put some credit on your phone, load it up, and come with it. What's a tabernacle? Because in priesthood, we must talk about tabernacles. However, okay, let me use this example so that it will enlighten us. Once upon a time, during the course of ministry, I met a young man. And this young man that I met said he had a long story to share with me before I pray with him. So, I gave him time. And he told me that when he was yet in the village, he went to fetch water from the stream one of those days. And when he got to the stream, he realized he was the only one there, which is very, very unlikely in a typical village scenario. And his spirit hopped out of the river and suspended and was speaking with him. That he has been looking for him. Since he was born, he's been monitoring. And now he's of age. It is time for him to take on his calling. And his calling is to be a priest. And it's a monk. However, in order for the spirit to find it very comfortable to be appearing to him, he has to go and construct a shrine. Now, he gave him the dimensions of what to do, all the kinds of stuff to make available, the distance between this item and that item and that item and that item. That prescription that the spirit was giving to the young man
was a prescription of how to set up a physical platform, a physical place. Are you with me? You're not with me. How to set up physical coordinates in a tangible place that makes that physical place mirror a place in the spirit realm. The prescription that the Spirit gave him was to set up a shrine. And what a shrine is that the coordinates of the place mirror a place in the realm of the Spirit, such that when the Spirit comes into that physical place, he doesn't know that it changed realm. Because this physical place was structured in such a way that it mirrors the dimension of the spiritual place where the Spirit is at home to operate. Is that clear? So the guy went and used that technology to set up a shrine, and when he does the incantation and summons the Spirit will appear and give him wisdom. That is how he became a very powerful man. So on this day that he was speaking to me, he was part of the service that I preached, just like this. I just did a simple teaching. He was somewhere at the back, and he was disarmed. And because he was disarmed, he knew that I could help him. So he now came and told me the long story of the insight that the Spirit gave him that made it possible for him to interface and interact with the Spirit to the point of extracting wisdom from him. So the Spirit will come into that physical place where those requirements have been made available because it's a mirror image of its realm. That was how this tabernacle was established. Moses had an encounter with God, and Moses saw this tabernacle as it existed in the Spirit. And through the workings of the Spirit of wisdom, he knew the dimensions to put in place the natural, that he will accurately mirror the dimension of that tabernacle in heaven. And the implication was that the dimensions of God will be trapped in that tent. A shrine is a place where, a physical place, where you can go and encounter a spirit being. So that's the arrangement of this tent. You understand it? Now, so what Moses did was that he moved the tent outside of the camp. And the purpose of the tent was clear by the name that Moses gave the tent. It was the tent of what? Of the congregation. That means anyone that wanted to seek the face of God, God had been trapped into the physical. So you could just make your way into the tent and you could commune with God, you could encounter God. And even though it was a privilege that was available to every member of the community, unfortunately, it was only Moses that took advantage of that possibility. The rest, you see Moses going to the tent, all of them will come and stand at their door. Moses will move. And the moment Moses enters into the tent, the cloud will come on the door. And then they will begin to worship. Hey, God is powerful. So the people got used to watching God, his acts, his manifestation. And because Moses was willing to go into the tent, Moses could learn the ways of God. The same kind of arrangement that God had with Adam was what was manifest here. If you check the kind of layout that this scripture reveals. Adam was created an adult. He didn't have the opportunity to ever be a child and to grow into maturity. And because of that predicament, God had a schedule for him, a schedule of visitation. Mind you must understand that Adam was not born again. He didn't have the life of God. Adam was only innocent. The life of God was in the tree, the fruit of the tree of life. And if Adam had eaten of that fruit, he would have become regenerated in his spirit. You see, the implication would have been that Adam would have been able to visit God. Because in the arrangement in the Garden of Eden, it was only God that could visit Adam. Adam could not visit God. And when God visits Adam, what God does to Adam is that God brings education. Are you still with me? He brings education to Adam as to how he was designed to function. So it means that if Adam misses one of the lessons, there is a dimension of operation that he may never realize all through his days. And that was why it was a problem when God showed up in the garden and couldn't find his student. Say, So this same arrangement we have here, when Moses comes into that place, the reason why Moses was coming was because there was some education that was going on. Hey, how did I know that? All right. Let me show you before we proceed. Oh my God. You see, time is nothing. Jesus. All right. Verse 11. Can you give me verse 11? Exodus 33, verse 11. And the Lord, stay with me. This one I'm doing now is the theoretical aspect. I hope you know the kingdom of God is not in word. So this is the theoretical aspect. If it's true that you know God, you should be able to manifest him. If you can't manifest him, you don't know him. Because God cannot be known cerebrally. He must be known experientially. If you have not experienced him, you don't know him. Just sit down. You know, it's easy for you to buy a suit. They sell good ones in Abuja now. I just discovered that. And then you are... after talking, follow us to Benue State. Let's go to one of the villages where we preach. Come and preach there. That's when you will know you don't know what you are saying. You don't know what you are saying. You see, one of our challenges for so many years, we have had people that don't know God talk. The church is like the household of Jacob, where women were naming children. You will name one of your child Adon Hammer, so that the next wife will... May the Lord help us. Hallelujah. You know, like I said, if at any point in time you are vexed, this hall was designed with many doors. You will just go, uno. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. That's the kind of experience that Adam had. Spoke to him face to face. And these were lectures. These were capacity building sessions that will make Moses understand how to operate maximally in the capacity of a prince. And I didn't mention that prince by error. Because if you have studied your Bible very well, you will know that this man was the first king of Israel. So he went to the presence of God to receive education every time. So the idea of the tabernacle most of us here are pastors. You see, on the list we have like 100 pastors. It means this place is rich with grace. When we say a man is intimate with God, what does it mean? He is intimate with God. That's what I want to define today. What does it mean to be intimate with God? What is the protocol for intimacy? Because the metaphor that is revealed by the tabernacle of Moses is the platform for intimacy where we receive education. Your calling, you don't know how to operate in your calling. It is God that will now come and educate you and say, these are the powers I've given to you, and this is how this one works. This is how that, you see, there is so much window shopping in ministry right now. Window shopping.
People shop as much as the watches that the people that they like wear, and they buy it as a sign that I'm compliant. You are like Batman. You are a cartoon figure. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. God came to Moses and was educating him day by day. So Moses knows that he has classes. He will carry his book and he's going. The rest, when he moves, the rest will come and stand by the door. And they made Moses a champion. Meanwhile, this opportunity was available to the entire congregation. Now, that's how most ministers are today. They are champions. They are like Saul. I hope you know Saul was the giant of Israel. Because the Bible reveals that every other man in Israel, at most, could get just to his shoulder level. So he was the giant of Israel. And he did well as a giant until he met another giant. And then he now realized he was not giant enough. Just like the giant that is in Nigeria now, the giant of insecurity, giant of corruption. Our giants are irrelevant in faced with the giant that is in the territory. I have intelligence, very secret intelligence, to tell you that our giants are incapable at this time. Listen to me. Everything is showing that the civilization we have arrived at in the body of Christ will not take us beyond where we are. This is the best that what we receive for 35 years designed us to be. And the reason is because we missed classes. The same cry that God gave when he didn't find Adam is what he is saying about you. You miss classes. And that's why you are very active, going around doing window shopping, trying to see the new trend, the new pattern. Meanwhile, you were supposed to be communing with God face to face, receiving lecture. If all of us had attended lecture properly, you will notice that we are not the same. If it's me God wants, he knows how to create plenty of me. He's one of me he wants. He's one of you he wants. Alright? I can teach you, I can disciple you, but I don't have what you have. You are going to manifest my teaching and my discipleship with the resources available to you. And you are still going to be you. I was telling one of my disciples something. I said, this aspect, I don't have this aspect. The person said, because they believe I have everything. I said, that's why I will not do this thing. I will never do this one. I will not do this one. And if you are there, this aspect you have, go and do it. You will never see me doing it. You know what? I attended school. So I know the grace that God has given me. The business God wants me to do is consistent with the grace that is available. I don't know the workings of that grace all. I don't know all about that grace yet. I know it a little. Because I'm still attending school. The real school is that place when you come to stay before God and you hear him talk to you mouth to mouth. And that is supposed to be the experience of every New Testament believer. Because in the New Testament, we remove all the duplicates so that people can interface with the original. All the duplicates have been removed, and that's why we have a spirit that animates the powers and the potential of the New Testament. And the bounties of God are consistent with the riches that is in that spirit called the Holy Ghost. It means that you as a New Testament believer should have testimonies of intimacies that exceed that which Moses had in the tent of meeting.
But the problem is this, most of us have not attended school because the average believer doesn't know what it means to be intimate with God. One of the reasons why God is not on your head, God is in your heart. God is not on your hand, God is in your heart. He's in the inward and the secret parts. The reason is because He wants to be closer to you than anything that is in the external. So if what kept you captive is Champions League, if what has made you to miss school is something that is external, it means you don't understand the New Testament economy. And as long as you don't understand the economy, you'll be looking for what is not lost. In the case of Adam, it was not his purse that got lost in Eden. It was the possibility of the kingdom of God being hosted on his heart. That possibility was no longer in view because of his act of rebellion. It was a kingdom that could no longer manifest through him. It was not money that got missing. So the ultimate revelation of the New Testament church cannot be prosperity. In fact, prosperity is the result of alignment according to the scriptures. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you are adequately aligned, you know what God wants to administer, then resources, material and financial, will be commanded to navigate that direction. The issue of resources, the issue of power, the issue of anointing are secondary issues. The primary issue is knowing the Spirit of Christ and the counsel of God that is trapped in him. Those are primary issues. For instance, prayer is not primary. Prayer is not a primary issue. Are you with me? Because the extent to which your prayer is such a concern that heaven can attend to is the degree to which it is consistent with the will of God. So the will of God is superior to prayer. Right? Is superior to. So if you are praying prayer that is not consistent with the will of God, you are praying amiss. It's a waste, it's futility. Go and play football instead of doing that. And that's why you can't do anything well if you have not attended school. We are trying to do things that are secondary. Meanwhile, there was a primary school we're supposed to attend. None of us are attended. We are putting tie today, going around. What are you going to do? Everybody's going around, everybody's active. Meanwhile, the results we are producing is not the kind of results that the Bible prescribes that should happen when the church is built according to Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the proof that it has so happened is that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Have you been able to tackle the devils that are in your family? Have you been able to wade against the patterns of darkness that are rooted among your people? That's the basic one. Then we want to bind the demon of Nigeria. Please help me tell your neighbor you miss school. Yeah, that's what I came to tell you. Are you following? You know, I told you when you brought me, you're a good man. You're a good man. He's a good man. I told him, I want to pray. I'm not sure of what God is saying yet. So let me pray. So I started praying, started praying, started praying, started praying, started praying, started praying. Not too long ago, then my spirit opened. Now, I will tell you that experience. Okay, so this was the experience of Moses' school. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his own friend. The man speaketh. So it means that in that room, God, who is a consuming fire that would have come in a very terrible way, he will strip himself and come So the hard words, he won't use it there. He made that environment so conducive so that Moses will be able to open up. This is primary school. That my wife runs a school, so I can tell you the category of people they teach like this. Eh? Where you play, you dance. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. It's children. It's primary school. And if you have absconded from this school, there is no other school that you will ever pass. You will become a creature of your generation. You are trapped in your because your scale of judgment is going to be wrong. Your vista of sight will be wrong. Where you will invest your potential will be wrong. You will know inside of you that you have more potential than what your life is producing, but you can't do anything about it. It's because you didn't attend primary. In secondary school, we had one man, Obi, Mr. Obi. He never smiled till we graduated from school. You see, that's not, you don't come to secondary school smiling. Mr. Obi comes with blala. You can't even, you have to behave yourself. So this description is not Mr. Obi's class. This description here is primary school where everybody is playing. He came there to Moses. He came like a friend. Let us press. Hallelujah. Let us see evidences that you attended school. First lesson in this school. I have many lessons here, but consistent with what our time can take. I have so many lessons, but I'm hoping that we can do three. You go and study the rest. Because you will not use my own school to be your school. I attended school. So I will remember what were taught there. Three lessons for you. If you know these three lessons, you will know the ones that I will not teach you. From this, if you start practicing these three lessons, they will put you in evening school. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now you can follow me. All right, let us begin. Let me describe to us. You see, the arrangement here is the arrangement of a wisdom through which God could be trapped. And that's the kind of arrangement that was used in your regeneration. There are two sides to your redemption, according to the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Let us check Romans 5, 10, so that you will see that there are two sides to your redemption. The Bible says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son." This is the first side. This first side is legal. You must understand that everything that is ordained to last must be standing on legal ground. And so if the devil wants to bring injury and vengeance into your family, what he does is that he takes advantage of what we call... You are not there. Pray first. You see, don't come and just be playing keyboard. When you attend this school I'm talking about, when you attend it, then you will now know how, where to touch. There's nothing you can do right. Even marriage, you can't run marriage if you didn't attend this school. You are in a hurry to look for a woman. You are in a hurry. And you can't manage a woman. So don't move and say, touch something. No. Go to school first. Go to school. Are you with me?
Now, so there are two sides to redemption, and one side is the legal side. If evil spirits intend to invade your family, they take advantage of spiritual laws, spiritual principles. Because the realm of the spirit is a realm of principles. One of the principles that they take advantage of is what we call headship. Somebody say headship. Headship is that privilege that God gave a husband in a marriage situation. It's a man that is given the responsibility of exercising headship. Headship is a burden. It's not an advantage. Because when God came into the Garden of Eden, he was not calling Eve. He called Adam because of the responsibility of headship. It means that everything that happened in that garden was Adam's fault. Because he was the one that was given the responsibility of headship. It's because of the responsibility of headship that the wife is asked to submit to the husband, not because he's male. Headship is not a male thing, and that's why there are several offices where the GMD is a woman. It's a woman that is operating headship, and men will have to submit. So, are you with me? Headship is not a male thing. However, in marriage, God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to give man the responsibility of headship. The implication of that responsibility is grievous. It means, are you with me? You know the problem with man? Problem with us? You are a derived creature. You are not original. A goat is more original than you. Well, you see, you are not hearing with your spirit. A goat was created after its kind, its original. But you were not created after man. You were created after God's kind. So you are not original. You are derived. If you want to evaluate your compliance, your accuracy, it is not you we will look at. We will look at God. And if you are operating different from the way God operates, it means you failed. It means you failed. Because we're created after the image of God. We're created after the likeness of God. And the reason why we're created after the image of God is so that we can operate in God's authority. Created after the likeness of God so that we can operate in, we can represent God. And so when we talk about man, the reference for man is God. The reason why the Father in heaven had to come to accredit Jesus by the waters of Jordan when he was baptized was that in God's agenda from the beginning, Jesus was going to be the first man that was an accurate expression of the idea God had in mind when he said, "Let us make man." Jesus was the first. So if you want to know how to operate as a man, I don't have time. Go and look at Jesus very well. One of the things you will notice is that Jesus never did anything of himself, because self is derived. Right? The purpose for which you have a body is a place where God can possess, so that he will work his works within you, and then you manifest what God is working. So you are a theater, a ground of expression. And if God is obscured in your vessel, it means you have failed. So if you want to be a husband, there will be many opportunities for you to be a man. But you are not called to be a man. You are called to operate like God. And that's why the indices
for which marriage is measured. It's not human indices. He said, love your wife. How? The unit of measurement is not mortar. Because the entire enterprise has nothing to do with man. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You will not know all I'm saying if you have not gone to school. Before you that hand you raise to slap, before you prosecute the slap, find out how many times God slapped. Find out. If you find the scripture, I say God also has slapping grace. We mess everything up as we bring humanity into it. And the reason why humanity stains, corrupts our expression is because we never went to school. And so God cried that day, Adam, where art thou? That's how he's crying. Not about unbelievers, but about his friends. When will you find your friend? He seeks you out. The Bible speaks about wisdom, how that wisdom cries in the streets. Seeking men to recalibrate so that you can operate by the real standard measurement. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Now, let me push you to Philippians chapter 1. No, before going to Philippians chapter 1, you will not understand it. Let us start from John chapter 17. Me say amen. Follow me. John chapter 17. Let's build it. Because I realize that if I run, we'll achieve nothing. He said, these words speak Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Then Jesus goes further to define eternal life. And then you will not discover that Jesus' definition for eternal life is different from your own definition. Because you would have thought it meant something else. Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they may know you. Meaning that, hallelujah, meaning that eternal life is qualitative. Quality. Those of you that did chemistry, we have qualitative analysis. We have volumetric analysis. Volumetric analysis. Volume. That's everlasting life. It's about the volume. But eternal life is about the quality. Just like dog life is what makes dog bark. No matter how you try to mimic a bark, it will never be like dog bark. Because dog bark is part of what the life of dogs empower them to do. And if you are lacking in that life, there is no way you can get it right. Eternal life, for instance, one of the qualities that is inherent in eternal life is that the capacity to know God is tied to that spiritual capital. The capacity to do what? No, you're not here. The capacity to... So you cannot know God apart from his life. And that's why you need to be sure that your pastor is born again. I know pastors in Lagos that claim that they were born again from their mother's womb. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Such a pastor that claims to be born again from his mother's womb, that doesn't have eternal life, doesn't have the hope of knowing God. So all that preaching is doing is because it is easy to behave like a pastor. It's easy to fake what a pastor is in our time. Our generation needs to go back to school. So I came to show us some of the modules of the school. Some of the inevitable lectures that you must master before it's too late. Darkness, gross darkness, is determined to overtake our nation. A nation that God set in motion, and he by prophecy had revealed his intention for the land. You might not find demons fighting over Burkina Faso. The reason is because there is no prophecy over that nation. So demons may not. You are not with me. You are not with me. We are like this because he said something, and the people of God have not gone to school to learn what he said. And we keep going instead of want to shut down. Stop. See, let's go back to school. We'll keep continuing. Just moving. All right. So according to Jesus, eternal life is qualitative, and part of the qualities that make up the potential of eternal life, possibilities bound on eternal life, is the quality that of knowing God. Okay? Second scripture. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 verse 20. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Ye have an unction. Eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Then he now said again, we have an unction from the Holy One, and it is through that unction that we know all things. We received a faculty. An unction means a faculty. There's a faculty of knowledge, of spiritual knowledge, that is part of what we received. It is through this faculty of spiritual knowledge that you can know all things. Are you with me? That means when we are praying, for instance, a good student of prayer, when he begins to exercise his spirit, exercise his spirit. You know, you can start prayer mechanically. When the prayer is still on the mechanical plane, the unction doesn't switch on. But when the prayer enters into the spiritual plane and the power of your regenerated spirit kicks in, it brings you to a point where what sustains the prayer is not the person that started the prayer. Is the system that has been put in place to sustain your spiritual intercourse and adventure that kicks in. That system has a knowledge faculty built into it. And as you begin to operate by the propeller of the spirit, That unction opens, and then you begin to know what to pray about. Even if you came into the prayer room without prayer points, when that unction opens, the knowledge faculty begins to radiate, and spiritual knowledge begins to come to you. This is what he's saying here. He said, we have an unction from the Holy One. Do you realize that your lectures, this is the teaching aid for all of your lectures in that primary school? You know, during COVID, internet learning now started. So you will need data as part of the infrastructure for learning. What was not necessary before. The teaching aid for this kind of lecture is called what? Unction. Oh my God. You are not with me today. I'm trying to use the simplest word so that it will look like rocket science. Because the only way to know God is experientially. This calculator God that we are calculating, it doesn't exist. Even Quran too spoke about Jesus. Quran. Meanwhile, the Bible says there is only one that knows Jesus, only one that knows the Son. The only one that knows the Son happens to be the Father. So how did Quran get their own Jesus? Please don't be counterfeit. Please, let's go to the chartered place and get the inspiration from the mind of God. There's only one that knows him. That means there are many Jesuses, many. The ones invented by people, by liars, by spectators, by philosophers. They invented many Jesuses. So which of them are you following? Is it the one that the Father revealed, or you are following another one? Meanwhile, falsehood, the ground for falsehood is to present another Jesus. The ground for falsehood is to present a different spirit and another gospel. People that will fall prey to these machinations never went to school. They didn't go to school. Because how come we were able to preach breakthrough as the statutory emphasis of the Holy Ghost for 35 years? And the Bible is not a book of breakthrough. Have you taken time to find out, okay, what is the theme of this book? How did we do that? And you too, you will create another error and you will lead people. You will run. People will follow you when you are old. You now say, oh boy, this thing is a curve. It's not straight. All of those things will still continue if we don't go to school. Meanwhile, we have an apostolic destiny as a church in this nation. We are going to be the plumb line to many nations. It is the gospel here that we heal the gospel in many lands. But see us. The other day, an anointed man rose up and he said, Acts chapter 2, and all the brethren were in one accord. You will have hunger, God. That is no. He didn't go to school. What we are trying to do in this end time, because there is no time, is to begin to re-implement
the ancient apostolic culture. Because according to the scriptures, the former reign will be restored first. It means we will come into the civilization of the first apostles first, before the later reign. The measure of the later reign will be added. Now, as a pastor life, as a pastor, as a preacher, are you like the first apostles? The things that accompany their ministry, is it true that those things are following you? That's when you will realize we didn't go to school. You have an unction from the Holy Ghost, and through this unction we know all things. This is the basis of all spiritual knowledge. And if you don't have access to spiritual knowledge, you will be a victim of spiritual warfare. It is through spiritual knowledge that we engage in spiritual warfare. For instance, your family, what do you know about your family? From God, by the Lord, what do you know that is there? Don't know. No spiritual knowledge. Because all we do is copy and paste, copy and paste. You don't have anything, any information coming to you from school, direct from your teacher that wants to be your friend. And the Lord said to me, like when you left me, he said, just like he was looking for Adam, that's how he's carrying a sack. His students have run away. He's looking for people to adopt and to bring back to school. Unfortunately, we have learned how to live life apart from school. It's a new way of operation that we have mastered. And the more we work in it, the more difficult it will be for us to be humble, to go and enroll in school. Are you with me? It's your grace. It's your grace. He shines on me. He shines on me. Your grace, He shines on me. He shines on me. Shines on me. It's Your grace. Is Your grace? It shines on me. Shines on me. Your grace, it shines on me. It shines on me. It shines on me. Is Your grace? It shines on me. It shines on me. Your grace, it shines on me. It shines on me. Shines on me. Is Your grace. Shines on me. It shines on me. Shines on me. Your grace. It shines. Shines on me.
These are the tools he will use. an attempt that Paul made to explain to us our new context. In the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we see Jesus in the incarnation when he was made flesh. In Hebrews, we see Jesus made spirit. Now, he said now, and the now there is in the new, means in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus that you used to know is that spirit. So his mode of operation now is spirit. So I have access to the mind of Christ, for instance. But that doesn't mean I have direction. Part of my heritage in God is the mind of Christ. But in order for me to unveil the mind of Christ on a matter, I will need to do due diligence of the prayer protocol. And I will keep praying, even if it's for 1 year, until the unction switches on. And then the education in that regard will open up. So you might do 5 hours of prayer and it was 15 minutes of education. The prayer time you will spend will be much more than the education time that will come to you. The reason is because that 15 minutes of education can last for 25 years. It is something you cannot exhaust. You will even need to hand it out to your children. So the description of a life of an accurate Christian is heavy on prayer, very heavy on prayer, because the way this turbine was designed is this manual and the turbine, you will need to activate this turbine mechanically until it goes into full oscillatory motion. I'm talking about your spirit. Oh, you're not following me. Okay, what I'm saying is you can begin a process of spiritual adventure mechanically. Like you started praying in tongues mechanically. It's not as if you were learned. You began to. And then a time comes when the Holy Spirit takes over. It means you have shifted from mechanical. It means the system called the dunamis, the dynamo, has reached maximum oscillation. And when it reaches maximum oscillation, you don't need to add the mechanical energy anymore. Now, when it reaches maximum oscillation, then it begins to bring out its inner capacities. But what you must watch out for is when the unction opens. Watch out for when the unction opens. If you have ever, how many of you have studied the book of Psalms very well in detail? There are 15 songs that David sang in the book of Psalms that are not songs. They are means of transportation. The Bible calls them the songs of ascent. So those songs are the kind of songs that the Holy Spirit hands out so that they can shorten your spiritual journey. If you pick and you begin to sing it, you will arrive at unction. It would have taken you 3 years. If you go to school and the way the Holy Ghost will teach you, because it's personalized school, it's home school, it's not this type of school that we have one lecturer, one individual. So if you really went to school, if you come out from that school, you will be original. Even though they had inputs in your life. But the solid ground of the educational system that is at work is driven by the lecturer that is in the spirit. So you go around and you find people are no longer original. People in a certain climb, because a man rises and is so bright, people now believe that success looks like him. So let's try to. All of those are manifestations of the fact that they have not been to school. You see, you people, you absconded. People absconded from school. I've been trying to follow what you are playing to see if I can touch Jesus. And you are running. Oh my God. Oh my God. We are too used to church. We don't know God. We don't know Jesus. Okay, let me try. Help me, Father. You got it, and then you left it, and then you started playing and nothing, because the buttons are many. Try again, you'll get it, I will tell you. You see, sorry, I'm like Elisha. I will continue as a teacher until I get the sound I'm hearing in heaven. That sound I hear in heaven will become my window. I will shift, I'll become a prophet. So if he doesn't allow me enter, I'll remain a teacher. You'll be blessed, but that's not... There is another aspect to this matter. He's tying me outside. He doesn't want me to enter. Stop that, y'all. Give me volume. Now listen. There are songs sometimes. As you are moving, you know. Aha, that's the song. See, he knows God small, but he likes other things. Likes other things. If I walk into your service and praise and worship is going on, I will know if the people singing know God. No. 60% of the time they don't. So what I do is I speak in tongues during praise and worship. There's no song of ascent. There's no migration. No migration. Migration is not for talk. It's not for talk. It's an experience. You can never travel until there's a song of ascent. Those are songs that the Holy Spirit litter in the spirit realm to help shorten the process. I see the Lord for my eyes. I've seen the King. He's the Lamb upon the throne who reigns forever. Oh my God. And for my eyes have seen the King. He's the Lamb upon the throne who reigns forever. And for my sin the King is the Lamb upon the throne. All right, you see, the song has made it easier. If you were to drive it in tongues, maybe it would take you 3 hours. But that song now, that the Holy Ghost released, says this is a shortcut. So I just saw in the spirit, saw two angels of God, and they came with a handkerchief. Another one came with a whitish liquid, and I began to ask, what is this? Don't change that progression. Mama Maya Kumina. Some of you, you be speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost gives you that song. You would drop the song and continue speaking in tongues. You are in the flesh. You are trapped to the ground. You will never rise. Because you didn't learn the ways of school. You will never. So, as we sang that song, I jumped up. I went. That's where I saw those angels. Meanwhile, I know you don't believe that I saw something. So, the best way to prove it is with some manifestations. Two angels, handkerchief, and a whitish substance. That whitish substance is the substance for prophets. That's what is used to wipe people's eyes before they begin to see visions. Wait for me. Therefore, there are two people in this auditorium. And these two people, God sent his angels to wipe your eyes. There's an anointing that will come upon you that will begin to function from today. It's the grace of a seer. Listen to me. Listen. You are not listening. You are not listening. At the count of 1 to 7, the hand of God will come on those two people so that you will know that I actually saw. This practical I'm doing is so that you will believe that what I'm saying is not a lie. I'm not making it up. The hand of God will come on the two people. The moment I say it, it's no longer God will act on it. It's not my business anymore. If it's true that I saw it. Now, do you realize that power is not shout? It's not shout. Say, ah! Kai, sit down. God doesn't even want you to do any drama. Because the spirit realm can testify by itself. The spirit realm is strong by itself. And this thing I picked is not because I spoke in tongue. He gave the shortcut. I followed. Mind you, I speak in tongues. That's my life. I spoke a lot of tongues before I came here. And these days, God will just tell me a little when I'm inside. Because he knows, he can trust that if I'm here, I can find his heart. It's a real school. That it is in that school that I was told not to go into full-time ministry for 16 years. I was ready for ministry full-time 16 years ago. I said, no, you are not my church. I was a good preacher in terms of teaching. I was good. Then and I realized that ministry is not about how well you can teach. Ministry is way beyond that. It's to represent the dispensation of Christ. And for that, you will need to go to school. So I was in school for 16 years. Graduated last year. Say now, the reason why I called you, you will start doing it now. So when I tell you that I saw, believe me, I learned it there. There are things he will make available. And the things that people are running for will run towards you. The rat race has been for too long. I see the Lord. I see the Lord exalted high above the heaven of the people of the earth. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. For my eyes have seen
the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forever. The reason why the sessions in the school take long, more power is released into your vessel, more authority to handle the situation. Meanwhile, all of that you did had nothing to do with you. And for 3 days, it will be like that. For 4 days, you are dealing with things that you cannot touch. He will teach you that for long. That's the first lesson. That the reason for which I anoint you is not because of yourself. He will teach you that until you learn it. Then you remove self from the equation. Whether or not you have a car, you will be able to minister with your whole heart because you were taught. But meanwhile, somebody that finished from Bible school, he needs to have a vehicle so that he can show people that he's not failing. He needs to travel abroad so that when he's on the pulpit, he can say, I was in California he's a tourist, not a messenger. First thing he will do is that he will put you aside and make you understand that his kingdom is bigger than you. The fall made us the emphasis, but the kingdom makes Christ the emphasis. Can you see the law? Your heart can see him if you are in alignment. If there's no other agenda, that's when you'll be given the privilege to see his shape. You'll be given the privilege to tap into the frequency of his thoughts. Then you'll find out that his thoughts are not your thoughts. That's the reason why his ways are not your ways. You tap into his thoughts concerning Nigeria. The moment you see it, some of your messages, you will never preach them again. You are comfortable preaching some things because you have not seen. Your utterance will change. Yes. So I came today under his instructions to get us to agree that we need to go back to school so that he can open the doors are locked. They've not been used for long. So that pupils can come back with their lunchbox and say, that's the only thing, the wisest thing that the church of our day will do to catch up with God. And some of you had powerful moments when you were much younger in your communion, because I can see in this congregation a lady with linen. And anytime I see this vision, it means there is somebody in our midst that walked, that understood what the presence of God meant. The Lord used to come with a weight of his presence, a weight of his glory. He used to visit you with that weight of his glory. The night of a depth of seeking. I want to lead us in 3 prayers. First prayer is a prayer of commitment, and the prayer goes, I will not run from school again. If you can, you may wish to pray that prayer. I will not run from school again. I will not run from school again. I will not run from school again. I will not be in a hurry. I will destroy the haste that is in my soul. And I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. For a moment, forget you came with your wife and attend to these prayers like a man
that wants to be relevant in the agenda of God. I will wait. I will wait. And for my eyes have seen the King, His Lamb upon the throne, who reigns for evermore. And for my eyes have seen the King, His Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forevermore. I'm going back to school. I'm coming back. Even if you work in the bank, you are free on Saturday, you are free on Sunday. You can enroll for weekend school and stay with him. When the unction is activated, then he begins to bring spiritual knowledge. Sometimes he can even show you that you are backslidden. We ask for your help. We do not trivialize your mercy. We do not trivialize your grace. And so tonight we ask, oh God, that you help us as we make our way into your presence, into that tent of meeting, the tent of the congregation. We want to dwell in that cloud of your glory. We want that face-to-face encounter again. Receive us back to school. In Jesus' mighty name. Second prayer point. Any man that trivializes spiritual things will always miss out. God is supernatural, but and he is not necessarily spectacular. Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus. It was a spectacular encounter. Jesus appeared to him as a light, blinding light. That's spectacular. That's not how God operates on a good day. It's very exceptional for God to do anything spectacular. But what God does is supernatural. And any true pilgrim of God must not look for spectacular things. He needs to look for supernatural things. That song that was laid upon your heart was supernatural. The one you didn't think about, it just appeared in your mind. That scripture that dropped is supernatural. In that scripture, if you know the economy, if you know God, what God had in mind for which he gave you that scripture, it might be the definition of your next 12 years. That scripture. Many people on this path trivialize supernatural things because they are looking for spectacular things. Second prayer point, help me to discern that which is supernatural. Listen. Sometimes you might be praying for direction, God, then he just drops a scripture. That scripture can have different meanings for 12 different years. That was good. Help me not to look for the spectacular. Let me recognize
the supernatural. Can we pray? Let me recognize the supernatural. Sometimes the answer is so easy that you trivialize it, because you are looking for something spectacular. Help me to recognize. Oh my God, I can't hear you pray. Masai lokom preskivo. Do not look for the spectacular. Look for the supernatural. Open our eyes to discern your ways. In the name of Jesus. So this night is a teaching and instruction night. Tomorrow we'll do a little teaching, and then we'll go into the supernatural. And if God permits, we'll prophesy here and there. A shift took place last year. Many things are going to change. First of all, in the body of Christ, subsequently in our land. The Lord will accomplish renovations, because the valleys will be elevated, the mountains will be humbled, the stones will be gathered out to create passage for the great monarch. It will be easy to see Messiah when he comes. That renovation has begun, and the Lord will raise, recruit a new set of functionaries that will have him as their goal, not their personal prosperity, their personal breakthrough, but him. I pray that this induction to school will not be your last day in school.
Can we all have our seat? By the special grace of God, tomorrow morning we'll be convened again by 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. Please. We are going to give you further details tomorrow. Tomorrow, please. I'll beg of us, those of us that have not given our offerings, the baskets will be at the doors of exit. Kindly cast your offerings, and the Lord will bless you abundantly as you do so in the mighty name of Jesus. I wouldn't want you to be casual with that which you've received. Go back tonight and travel at the place of prayer, and join us tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., as we begin.